your truth.
And what do you mean by that?
Harmonizing your thoughts, feelings, and actions.
I like that. So your greatest power is in your discovery and understanding of self.
That's right.
Finding Happy Podcast will help you understand how your thoughts affect your life.
Thoughts become feelings, and our feelings create a halo around us. Finding Happy Podcast will help you cultivate favorable outcomes and avoid harboring negative energies.
Wow, I like that. Thoughts become feelings, which then become habits that we practice. Finding Happy Podcast will help or give the listener an insight into how what they do is a reflection of their subconscious minds. And it will help you understand how to program your mind to attract what you want consciously.
You deserve to thrive in this life. Find your happy.
Finding Happy Podcast.
Our guest is here.
Awesome.
She is the fabulous, and I just want to share something about who she is. I have so many screens right now. Let me share the right screen on my monitor. Okay, here we go. Yeah, she is someone I met this year, and some of the things I'm going to say, she's never heard me say before. I am, when it comes to females, or women of a certain age, I usually stay away because of the relationship I had with my mother. And for those of you who've been listening to my podcast since season one, I talked about this. So a lot of you, maybe when I say what I'm about to say, you're gonna be like, oh, okay. Because before, once it's a woman of a certain age, like over 35 or so, I have left the room. I have nothing to say. I do not stick around. So that's one thing. The second thing is, since 2013, I kept searching for a Wednesday church. For some reason, like, I went on a hunt for a Wednesday church. This apostle, her service is on Wednesday. That's another thing, okay? Another thing is, I worked with a sexual health authority for 5 years, and it became a passion project for me. When I met her, and the first meeting, I don't usually talk in meetings, again, especially depending on who's in the room. She doesn't know this. I was ecstatic when I heard her target audience and who it is that she's reaching out to, right? Because it's seeing women like those, women who are getting pregnant and women who were just downtrodden and women who were being treated less than, that made me decide, okay, I've got to go to university. I have to do these things. There's just certain things I had to do. And these are three of the main things that draws me to her, but she wouldn't know because I've never said. Because again, I don't usually say. So I want to read something about her. She is Apostle Dr. Faith A. Walters with her theology degree, theology doctorate, and she's a senior pastor. She's a psalmist, a songwriter, published author, poems about my self-esteem. That's her poem. She's also a poet. That's another thing, right? In 1997, Apostle Faith received a revelation from the Lord to begin a ministry that would empower individuals to success in the kingdom of God. Many who experienced emotional, mental, physical, sexual, financial, substance, and spiritual abuse. In addition, many who have had difficulty with low self-esteem, insecurity, self-confidence, self-control, and sex addictions. My misery became my ministry. When I heard her say that, that was one of the most powerful things I ever heard. Again, I said nothing. So she doesn't know this. Wow. Because I didn't say anything. Welcome to Finding Happy, Dr. Faith. I am so happy you are here. You're someone who really, really matters to me. I don't usually say. So that's why I never said.
Thank you.
I know. You're welcome. You are so welcome.
You surprised me there.
I know. It's funny because when I come around the microphone is when I talk the most. Otherwise, yes. Especially about myself. Otherwise, it's just business. Yes. This is Coach Steven. He's a wellness coach, nutritionist, physical trainer, and he has a wealth of experience behind him. He's only 23, and I'm so happy to have him here with us as well. So welcome to the show, and please tell us. The first thing I'd love you, introduce yourself, tell us a little about yourself and why we're here today. It's her 14th anniversary of her ministry. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you.
Tell us about it.
Oh my goodness. Oh, where do I begin? Oh my Lord. Good morning, everyone. It's a beautiful and fabulous day that the Lord has given us. And I'm so grateful to him for all that he has done. I got to first give him honor because of him. That's why I'm here. And that's why I have my being. That's why I'm living. So I'm just grateful for all that he has done in my life, what he's done already, what he's doing now, what he's about to do. Amen. And I thank God for celebrating 14 years of ministry.
Oh, wow.
It has been, when I look back, I said, my Lord, how did I get through all of this? It has been quite a challenge for many years. I've had people that I started out with, and by the time I turned around, they left. My family was with me. They left. Everybody wanted to do their own thing. My children were with me, and, you know, they all gone. But I kept on going because when God gives you a mandate, when God gives you a vision, you got to keep going on no matter what. Yes. And he will give you the people in his timing for things to come together. And I'm so grateful to have met you, Sister Raquel, because since I met you, my ministry has gone to another level, okay? Wow, I have some of my people in the ministerial field, they said I'm high tech now.
To God be the glory.
I said I've gone into another forum. I was like, oh, they say, oh, I'm scared of you.
Good.
Oh, but God has been so good. You know, I have worked a lot with, I didn't want church to be how I was raised because I was raised too much in a very strict environment. My father was a minister and he was so strict, it was ridiculous to the point where I didn't want to know anything about God because if that's the way God was or God is, I don't want nothing to do with it because he was boring. Because I was living in a very boring environment and I wasn't really doing anything. All I was doing was going to church and school, church, school, and that's all it was. And I said to God, if this is all you're about, I don't need you in my life. So, and at the time I didn't realize that God was, even though I was saying all these things to him, he wasn't paying me no mind because he was really trying to keep me together. Because at 12 years old, I was trying to commit suicide. And my father was in the next room. He had no idea. And he's a preacher. He had no idea that I was trying to. And I did it about two or three times as a young person. And they still did not know anything about it. And each time I did that, I realized I woke up the next morning and I keep asking why I'm here, you know? And I'm like, you know, I didn't. And even at that time, I didn't know that God had a plan for me. Because I was never taught that because nobody really wanted me around. I didn't feel loved. As Sister Raquel said, you know, my mother didn't really care much about me. And, you know, and I realized later on my father didn't care for me either. I found this out on his deathbed. And that really hurt me a lot as well, you know. But through it all, you know, God has brought me a long way. And when I left my father's church and went to another ministry, I was under Apostle Ara Jackson for a while. And he taught me so much about my life and he taught me how to love myself. And he taught me how to connect to the word of God because I asked God for that. Because I said, Lord, it was a sense of reading your word and it's not connected to my life. So I said, Lord, please take me to a ministry that would help me to connect it so I could learn more about who you are. And the Lord took me to it had so many names. Christians Fellowship Life Center, now it became Life Center. And through that ministry, I learned how to love God. I learned how to acknowledge him as Lord. I learned how to embrace him. I learned how to worship. I learned how to study the word and apply it to my life. I learned how to love people unconditionally. I learned how to forgive in spite of all the hurt. You know, he said to me, your greatest success, your greatest revenge is success. I was like, wow, that was so powerful for him to say that. Your greatest revenge is success. I said, oh my Lord, I have never heard nobody talk like that. So that was really, really something that really pushed me along. And, you know, I was still in the middle of a very toxic marriage and very abusive, emotional, mental, and spiritual, financial marriage. And I had three children and had to take care of them on my own. And he wasn't really much a part of it. And my family was so much supportive of him. So I was basically all alone for many, many years. And as I was talking to the Lord this morning, I realized that he's been with me through so much, even going to school and getting all these degrees I have now, because they told me I was not going to be anybody. I was pretty stupid and dumb. I wasn't really going to make it. And, you know, when the Lord sent me to school, you know, the Lord said, you know, first of all, he told me to become a teacher. I want to be a secretary. And I said to the Lord, you know, you told me to become a teacher, and they told me I was stupid, so how am I gonna do anything? He said, no, don't worry about it, daughter. I got this. I'm gonna give you the knowledge to go to school. And sure enough, he gave me the knowledge. Even at one time, I was on the dean's list. I shot myself. Oh my Lord. I said, Jesus, you certainly are something. And the Lord provided the finances, because I didn't have any money. You know, I didn't have, my parents didn't really give me any money to go to any type of school that I have. And, you know, my husband wasn't really supportive there as well. But I just realized today, as before I came on here, Sister Raquel, you know, I realized, I said, God, you gave me even the finances to go to school. Even my last degree, my second master's, earned master's in marriage and family therapy with sex therapy as a focus as well. I realized that was my most expensive degree, and God just opened up a door for all though that debt to go away. Oh my God. I mean, almost $100,000 worth of debt gone.
Hallelujah.
You know, so I give him the glory, I tell you. And you know, and my faith is so strong. And I realized even, you know, through that ministry as well, taught me how to live by my namesake. I never understood about what faith really meant until I was going through all these different things, you know. And then it taught me how to love people from all walks of life.
Yeah.
And when I read and I studied the life of David, I studied the way Jesus operated. Jesus didn't hang out with the fluty, high fluty people. People think they better than other people. Jesus hung out with the low life, as society would call them, the poor people, the murderers, all the people that, the tax collector, all the woman who was caught in the bed of adultery, and all these women and a whole bunch of husbands and what have you. These are the people he hung out with. And these are the people that he said he came to reach. He said he didn't come for the righteous people. He came to bring sinners to repentance. So I said, Lord, I want to follow that example. So because of that, you know, I've just, you know, realized that my ministry just was a theme to reach out to hurting people, you know, because he said, yes, I'm using what you've been through to help you to bring other people to a level to understand who I am and who I am as God. Don't mind me, because when I start talking about God, I start tearing up. Okay, I start tearing up already. That's because God is so good to me, you know, And when I share my life, my testimony, like, wow, you know, I'm a happy person now. You know, I'm good to people, because the word says, you know, love covers a multitude of sins. Love, you know, when people done you dirty all your life, my family done. And I learned that family don't necessarily mean blood. I learned that too. And God just sent people in my life to love me and to care for me, you know, and make me feel a part of something. You know, and I'm so grateful to him for that. And I reach out in the streets, and I be praying for people on the street. I have my meetings out there. Some of these churches don't want to support me. That's okay. They're a bunch of religious people. The Lord took me out of the fancy clothes. I don't put on the big old hat anymore, the matching pocketbook and the fancy suit. I said, God, why you tell me about this thing a long time ago? Because I grew up like this, thinking you got to wear these fancy suits for you to be a child of God. Yeah, just realizing all the, even the church, my father's church, there used to be some, you know, I have this all in my book too. And there used to be some people, I didn't know they were transvestite at the time. They were on the steps of the church. And people look at them all funny. So now I look at them all funny too, because they're the adult. They're supposed to be teaching me stuff, you know? And then not realizing, I said, oh my God, this is the people you came for. I said, wow. So I had to repent. I just said, Lord, I'm sorry, because I didn't know. And he forgave my ignorance. And I'm so grateful to the Lord for that. And then now I'm reaching all these people, homosexuals, prostitutes, drug dealers. You should see me hanging out with drug dealers. Oh, my goodness. I'd be giving the word. One of them said to me, he said, oh, I realize, Apostle Faye, you're not scared. I said, scared of what? I got the triune God covering me. I got the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So I'm gangsta. Hello. I stand there and I be talking to them, sharing, because I have a lot of books I be sharing. He be reading my books too, and he just love when I come around and share the word. He asked me, you know, where the word apostle come from? He said, well, I'm part of the Jesus ministry. He goes, people be Baptist and stuff. I said, guess what? I'm part of Jesus ministry. I'm about no other ministry but Jesus ministry. So I brought it to him in Ephesians chapter 3, and he's like, wow, I didn't even know that was there. So, you know, and then the funny thing is, you know, they wouldn't come to the church because I have a little space for them to come, because, and all the people look at me funny because I didn't have a whole lot of people. But you know what? I realized the universe is the people. I don't have to be like everybody else, because I realized, you know, I had set my ministry up thinking I was going to be like everybody else. But as I realized, God had me on a different plane, a different platform, you know, something that would go beyond the norm, because everybody's so used to being inside the church. I got so tired of being inside the church, and I realized, God, the ministry is outside the church, you know, to embrace people and to love on people. You know, I've, you know, even that drug dealer I was talking to for those months when I was over there, you know, my last space. And, you know, I saw, you see how God does things sometimes. You know, I told him, you know, you may not have come to the church, but I've been praying for you, you and your little peoples that you up there giving out the drugs and stuff. And, you know, sometimes I'd be standing and he trying to put some, I say, in the name of Jesus, you ain't put no drug up here. He said, oh, man, you're not going to do that. I said, yes, I'm standing here. You're not going to do that. So then, you know, I left that space for a while. And I was at with the mayor of Mount Vernon. I was invited to her ball. I was like, wow. I was invited to the mayor's ball. I said, wow, this is really something, God. Oh, I'm going up. Oh, my goodness, because I joined. I became a district leader. So I'm up in the political arena. God put me in the political arena. I said, oh, Lord, what is this? So I went to the ball, and on my way back around 2 o'clock, at about 1-2 o'clock in the morning, I had, something was wrong with my car. Sometimes something's happened. You wonder to yourself, you know, because my car was sitting for a while, and then he was having some issues. So I ended up coming to a gas station. And sure enough, about 1 o'clock in the morning, here it is, one of those young men that was standing with that drug dealer on the corner. I said, wow, a funny thing to meet you here in this particular place at this particular time. And I said to him, so how are things going? And he said to me, you know, me and that drug dealer, we have jobs now. I said, well, praise the Lord. They came off the street. So I said, thank you, Lord, for answering prayer. So I see God as just used me in so many ways to reach so many people. And it's a blessing, you know, to know that God can use me. And I'm bold enough to, I'm not afraid of nothing. I tell people, I only fear God, and his fear is just reverencing him. That's it. You know, I don't scare nobody. I talk them to presidents. It don't matter who you are. Pat, I'm bold enough for that. You know, you got something to say, come say it to me. Because you know what? God's got my back, you know? And I tell you, I have been, the Lord sent me to parks to pray across from a church. Some park I heard. that somebody, there was a lot of killings in the park. And the Lord sent me there to pray one evening and told me to put some oil on the park. And I put the oil on the park. I walked around, had somebody else on the line, you know, was with me and were praying as we walked around the park and put the oil on the park. And you know, after I did that, there was no more killings in that park anymore. I said, wow, God, look at your power. Look at your anointing. You know, and I prayed for people. I had a lady who I went to get my visit and at the hospital. And she said to me after we finished talking, she said, you know, my husband and I are trying to have a baby. I said, sure, honey, let's pray. So the Lord directed me how to pray, because there's a specific way you got to pray when women want to have babies. You got to say some specific prayers. You can't be talking some general prayers. You got to speak to the things that form the baby. You got to speak to every organ that forms the baby. So the Lord instructed me to pray. You know, when I prayed, I didn't see the lady again for another, maybe a couple of years. I came back to the hospital for something else, and she's flagged me down. And she said, remember me? You prayed for me to have a baby. Well, my baby now is 2 years old. I said, praise God. So God has been using me in so many areas. You know, a woman had cancer, stage 4 cancer. The Lord told me to tell her she's not going to die. She's going to live. And I prayed with her, and she's in her 70s. She's doing very well. So I give God the glory for all that he has done. And I was saying on the prayer line just on yesterday, I said, you know what? I'm having fun serving God. I have never had so much fun in my life serving God. You know, I danced. Oh, dance. Oh, I'll be getting my groove on. Be having fun.
Yeah, that's amazing.
They be looking at, oh, what's wrong with her? You know, but I'm just grateful to the Lord for what he's done for me in my life. So, you know what? I just wanted to continue to flow in him and just be grateful.
That's amazing. As I listen to you talk about your ministry, it connects with how I've felt over the years so much. One of the things, to me, like when I hear you speak of your ministry, and when you spoke about, you know, you may not have the flock that when you go into the church, you see thousands. To me, I feel like he appointed you to go find the one.
Yes, that's right.
And I think sometimes that's what he's done, because he's done it in my life.
Yes.
I used to feel the same way. I used to go to church because I grew up in church. Yes. All the way until 33. And then I said, okay, enough. I need to go learn myself. I used to wear a shirt that says rebel across my chest because I couldn't ask questions. I remember once a minister confronted me in the church, openly in the service, like he and I were going at it. I mean, we had more than 100 people in the church. We were going at it in the church until they had to say to him, Pastor, you can't do this. I was like 21 years old, you know, because it was a constant, you have to do this. And I remember the person who influenced me was this lady. She kept having children. I mean, she had a litter of kids, like just a lot of kids. And she was single. She wasn't married. And I watched them move that woman from the back to the side. They were just moving her around the church.
Of course.
To the back and the center to the, like, and it was something that had such a huge impact on me. But what stayed with me was how she prayed. And every time I hear you pray, you remind me of Miss Donna.
Oh my goodness.
When she prayed, I used to sit and like, what do I need to do to feel that? Whatever it is she's feeling, she used to say, thank you, God. And I'm like, what on earth is she thanking you for? Like, I couldn't understand it. What is she so happy for? Like, they treat you so badly. You're struggling with this. But she just had this. She had this love affair with God that I now have, that I, at the time, couldn't understand. So when I hear you say, you know, God makes you happy, I now know who he is. And so I don't have to convince anyone anymore. How does one get to that place if they're not there? How does one get there?
Oh, wow. Takes a while. It takes a lot of perseverance. And you got to really, what I was taught to do, learn how to worship God. I also learned how to read and study the Word of God. And I was also taught to pray the Word of God. Mm. And what I also did was, I was also encouraged to have make affirmations.
And yes.
I also was encouraged to have music that reverenced God and to keep your mind and your thoughts on Him, because it's through reading the Word of God and understanding it. And what I didn't understand, because my pastor always said, even though he was teaching a great lesson, he was a prolific teacher, but he said, go home and read the Word of God again and allow God to minister to you through His Word, to make that personal connection. So the more I did that, and the more I worshiped, and you know, because He taught us how to worship as well, and be in His presence, and just adore Him and honor. And the more I find myself moving in levels after level after level, you know, and I became so sold out because, and then I was married, you know, for such a time, and you know, I had to put away all, I can't get caught up in all the sinful acts and stuff like that. And I asked the Lord to keep me, you know, from getting caught up in wanna be into sex and all that kind of stuff. And the Lord kept me. And the reason how He kept me, because I stayed prayed up. I stayed reading the Word. And that's what keeps me going, y'all. And I stay in worship. And I learned to balance my life. I don't want to be so heavenly minded that I'm no earthly good. So I learned how to flow with people. You know, most times when I go around people, a lot of them don't even know that I'm a child of God. They pick up on my spirit, you know, and if you continue to flow in God and make Him be the focus of your life, and make it be the head of your life. And, you know, and sometimes when I don't, sometimes I do things and it's not right. And I say things or whatever it is. And the Holy Spirit would say to me, you shouldn't say that. Now go back and say, you're sorry. So what you have to work to be at this level, and you have to be constant in prayer, have a devotion, my special time when I spend time with God is in the morning. Early morning before everybody, you know, move about, you know, and the more I kept praying is the more I kept building. So it took me 20 years to be where I am today. It took a lot of work, a lot of perseverance, a lot of endurance, you know, but you got to work at it, you know, because you remember, God's love is unconditional. And when you talked about that lady that was pregnant with all them children, I already knew what was going to happen to her, because they did it in my church too. You know, if you get pregnant out of wedlock, you are shunned, okay?
I didn't understand it. Yeah. As a 16-year-old, I didn't get it. I was just like,
You're shunned.
Isn't this where you come?
Yes.
I didn't get it. I just couldn't get it.
You look down as a noble. Look at the lady with the five husbands that St. John 4. Yeah. They was talking about like she was nothing. Look at the lady that's caught in adultery. Jesus says, so where the man at? Right. She can't beat it by herself. Yeah. So Jesus, who got no sin, cast the first stone. Guess what? Everybody walk away because, you all guilty of sin as well. You know, so this is what I've done to maintain my life. And it's, you have to be sold out to Him. And I write my goals, because Habakkuk 2 verse 2 says, my pastor taught me that too.
Vision.
Write your vision, make it plain. So I write all the things I desire in my life. You know, funny thing, I was cleaning through my stuff and I came across a list of things I wrote. I said, oh my God, that's exactly what I'm doing now.
yes. So I've done
little
that too.
By little, you know, and it takes a process, people. And I know I realize I'm on YouTube. It takes a process. If you really want your life to be successful, know God. And I'm a living example. Knowing God is the best success you can have, because everything you desire after that, it will come to you.
Absolutely. And that is absolute fact, because I am a miracle.
Yes.
A complete miracle.
Yes.
And so I know what you're, what it is that you're talking about. I want to give Stephen a chance if he has any questions. Do you have any questions, Stephen?
No.
When was it? 2 days ago? I don't remember what you did. What we did with you, and Stephen said, "I want to know her. How do I get to connect with her ministry?" Yeah. After it happened, and he is very connected himself. I don't know that I've ever met a young man that was so connected with God in that kind of way.
Yes.
He's very like, I need to talk to God about this. I need to, you know, yes. very involved. I want to share, a bit of your song, and then I want to talk about it because I think this was the coolest thing ever.
The parts of their body.
Gosh, when I heard the song, let me get the name for the song, a spiritual erotic expression of love. I want to say thank you for this because I feel that sometimes when we talk about God, we put him in this box.
Yes.
We put him in this corner of the house and say, that is what he is and that is where he stays. But he created sex. And how I learned God, because I thought I was just so weird and so rebellious that how could I possibly connect with him in any way? And then my mind as a success coach, like I was born to be a success coach.
Yes.
And now I embrace that.
Yes.
I see him as the businessman that he is. I see him as the strategist that he is.
Yes.
And I now know that it's okay that I don't see him the way everybody else does. It's okay that I see him as a businessman. And
yes.
for me, in my business practices and in my strategies, I see sex as one of the greatest commodities God ever created.
It is,
because he said he wants the earth populated.
Yes.
And so what did he create? Sex. No, he doesn't have to ask you. He doesn't have to advertise. He doesn't have to promote.
No.
It's just happening because
right.
he made it in such a way. Exactly. And for me, that he's saying, this is how you build a business. You have to build it in such a way that people will gravitate towards it. People will enjoy it. It will bring relief and peace and harmony for them.
Right.
How did you get to this place of being so bold to... I imagine you must come up on people who are just against it because they
every day.
I don't know what happens. How did you get here? Like, how do you pen that song, sing that song? How did we get there? It's amazing.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. When I was about, you know, because in the church, they suppress sex. You can't
yes.
talk about it. In my house, mm-hmm. it's a taboo. If you say the word sex, you're disrespectful. So that's
wow.
something they don't talk about, they don't embrace. But yeah, they have sex, but you can't talk about it.
Exactly, because kids
don't
are coming.
Don't make no sense to me. How we got here? Oh, they can't even tell us how
exactly.
we got here. Some bird or whatever, they kind of tell some nonsense. Or they skirt around it. Okay, and
yeah.
I got to a point where, you know, I said that I kept, because they downplayed it, I opened
yes.
So I said, you know what, one day I'm
yes.
gonna be a sex therapist. And I heard Dr. Ruth. Dr. Ruth, you know that little German lady. She
right.
was talking about sex like it was no like a conversation. I said, oh Lord, I love her. I want to be just like that lady. Or even better too. You know?
Nice.
So from I was in my teens, I was talking about sex all the time. And then I would talk about it around these young woman who was supposed to be getting married and stuff. Oh, I don't want to hear that. It is so holy and holy.
You're getting married.
You know, and then one day now she was going to get married now. Oh, thank you. Tell me about the sex that you talk about before. I thought you didn't want to hear it. You know, so after that time, I said, okay. And I kept openly talking about it. They didn't really say much. So I moved away for that arena because, you know, and I find even when I move into that new church setting, there was still a bunch of holy people everywhere. all the holy people. Yeah. You know, they don't want to even talk about, bring up that subject, you know? So anyway, when the Lord led me in 2009 to become a marriage and family therapist, and then my professor, he taught sex therapy. I said, oh, Lord, I'm right up in my element here. So I ended up being a part of that class. That class was so intriguing. It taught me so much. And then my professor said, you know, I've heard people sing songs about the stars, the universe, but nobody ever thanked God for the sexual body parts. So I said, okay, God.
I know, right?
Nobody said thank God. So anyway, I go home one evening and I'm sitting there. I said, Lord, I need a song for the sexual body part. So, you know, and I had read about Adam and Eve and all the different stuff. So the next morning I'm in my devotion. I said, Lord, I need a song. All of a sudden the song started coming to me. Okay. So I turn on, thank God for the cell phone, turn on the recording, and I started singing the song. So I didn't really realize what I was singing, Sister Raquel. Until when I finished the song and I played it back, I said, oh my God, what is this song? Lord have mercy, Jesus. You're going to turn the church upside down with the song. The song talked about every sex, and I call.
Yes, it does.
I call clitoris. I call.
Yes, penis, you did.
I call vegetables. I call prostate. I call, and then my family listened to the song. They were dying. Because they're dying, because, and my mother, she was like, she's all crunched up. Even to this day, when I went away, I sold a bunch of CDs and people, they love the song. My mother still gets all crunched up.
They love it too.
I said, you know what? And people, they go, when they hear it, they get so, and I have some friends,
yes, that
they promoted for me. So I sold about six CDs, you know? And so I just enjoy that song, you know? And I said, what's wrong with it? Because it's too, because a lot of people, but the Lord told me too, as well, a lot of people in the body of Christ, you got so many, there's more divorces in the body of Christ than there is in the world, you know? Yes. And that part of the reason why that's happening, because there's nothing going on in the bedroom. The bedroom is boring. All they do is have sex to procreate kids. And that's it. Once they have sex, they have the children. Anybody got time for nothing else. Nobody ain't got no time to have fun. Nobody.
And then they're mad at everybody else.
Yes.
Then they go out, they're mad at the woman who's having children, mad at everybody else.
Yeah, you know. So I said, Lord, I see where this is directed to the church. You're trying to wake up the church and trying to wake up these marriages. Because I found people been married for many years and they ain't having no sex, no function in the bedroom.
How do
you have function in the bedroom, married for 10, 20 years? That don't make sense. You know,
that is crazy.
The Bible says it's not good for man to be alone. Now you marry, you ain't having no sex or something. They call it
you're worse than being alone.
Function at the junction. You ain't functioning at the junction. What's it say? Yeah. The Bible says you're supposed to function in the junction regularly unless you're fasting. So if you ain't doing that, then what? And then they don't reason why people get so gung-ho about or so embarrassed about using the words, because they've never used it themselves. You know, I had an apostle once, he had a book, Woman Love Your Body, Husband Love It Too. And in the book, it said that that doctors see their wife's vagina more than the husbands do.
The husband. Oh, my God.
I said, get out of town.
That's crazy.
And he's right. I was I could not believe that.
That is crazy.
Oh, my Lord. But they be groping in the darkness. You know, they don't turn on the light.
Oh my goodness, oh, that's
Stephen,
crazy.
Is it too much for you, Stephen?
No.
Stephen was engaged, right, at one point, so I think he's aware. Yeah, right, Stephen?
Yeah, I'm fully aware of all this.
Okay, you know, so I'm bent out of shape.
Just don't bother me.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And fun, you know, sex, you know, when you're with the right person, it's anointed. And every time I hear that song, every time I listen to it, I see the anointing in the song. I sense the anointing because
me too.
The other parts of it where even the internal, the sensation that you feel on the inside, we take those things for granted.
Wow. Yes, we do.
You know, and it's people talking about Viagra and all that stuff. You want to get it up or whatever you try to say you want to do. You better say, Lord Jesus, put your hand on that. Lord,
there you go. It's true.
Yeah.
Of course.
Jesus.
Yeah.
And it must.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Absolutely. It's true, because he made it. And if he made it as such an essential tool, then I don't know why it is that we would. Yes. But I, you know what I think in this world? I think the enemy has a way of limiting our access to things that would empower us.
Yes, that's true.
Things that will make us love ourselves, and things that will make us value God, and things that will make us realize just how amazing and how powerful he is. Because I think if we stop fearing sex and really sit and think about it, we'd be like, oh, that's some, that is some creation. The value of it, it's the single most effective thing. It's like a free vacation.
Yeah.
You know, it does everything. And if we were able to leverage that, how happy we could be.
Of course.
You know?
Of course.
It's crazy.
It's very
this weekend,
the way God did it. Very unique.
It is the way, because I've studied, like I said, when I study God and when I read the Bible from the beginning and I'm going through to the end, it's with my mind, which is a business mind. And when I see it, all my strategies that I implement. And the funny thing is, before I started doing this, because I didn't want to work with church people, you know, until God really, like, he had to make himself very clear to me. I was like, what, Jonah? I was Jonah, and I'm disobedient, you know? And I used to work with, like, CEOs and established business owners, and they believed in God. Like, they pursued everything they did, every deal they made, everything we did when we did those strategies, because my strategy was always based on how God created sex to multiply. Right. Because when I was 8 years old, I remember, because I grew up in a hut, right, in Manchester, and I didn't really have parents who, my parents did not have the capacity to parent children, right?
Wow.
And I remember I used to be paralyzed by fear in that hut, you know, because it was just up on the hilltop. There were no houses near me. And there was an asphalt company and a marl company. And it was mostly men that worked in those companies.
Yeah.
And so I would just be so fearful. And I remember at 8 years old, I was like, okay, this is enough. And I remember going outside in the dark. And I was like, okay, if Christ died on the cross, then it's the cross I'm supposed to use.
Right.
So I remember making a cross and then listing what I had, the birds, the trees, you know, silence, be by myself. And then I would write on the next side what I can do with those things. The birds was entertainment, 8 years old, right? So from that time, I was very, and I understand now that it's because I'm a coach and that's my purpose, why my thoughts were like that. So from then, I only understood God from a business perspective.
Wow.
So that's why I would clash in the church, because it just didn't make sense to me. I would go and I'm hearing them say things, I'm like, that doesn't make sense to me, you know? So I feel very thankful for the ministers I've connected with now, because I'm like, oh, wow, they're coaches and they're psychologists and they're like, okay. You know, it's meant for me. So so I understand it, and I think, I hope you know, and I want to say it from my experience, I love your ministry.
Oh, wow.
I love your ethos. I love who you're targeting. It really touches my heart.
Yes.
And every time I do something for your ministry, or, well, for all the persons I work with, it's my entire heart that is there, because I value it so much. I don't usually talk about it. So you wouldn't have heard me talk about it, but I really love it. And the fact that it's on a Wednesday, because I've been searching for Wednesday.
Wow.
I don't know why. I don't know why I was searching for a Wednesday. I call it Wednesday Chapel, you know, since 2013. So I thank you for that. I know this weekend you're having a celebration of your 14 year anniversary. Stephen, could you share with us the information on the flyer?
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. So, just share it with those who are listening, please. Both flyers.
Yep. On Tuesday, June 30th, starting at 1 p.m. to 4 p.m.
Start on Sunday.
Oh.
Yeah, read the first one first, the other one first.
Gotcha.
Yes.
All right. So, the 14th church anniversary, it's time to cross over. Joshua 1:9-11. Sunday, June 28th, 2020, starting at 5 p.m., we're having a live Zoom. The ID is 822-9466-8590, and the password is 184548, and we are going to be live streaming on the website, Facebook, and our YouTube channel. And as well, there will be special guests, which are Pastor Fordyce, Evangelist
Delrine Fordyce.
Fordyce, my apologies.
Yes.
Bishop Bates and Elder Montgomery. And then,
awesome. We're gonna share this, and the images will be there. There's also Evangelist Carlington, and we'll share the image for you with you guys later. Yes. Be strong and courageous, it says. Don't be afraid or discouraged. God is with you wherever you go. Go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days, some of you that can't see. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. Amazing. What's the next one? Go ahead with it. The community connection, which I thought this was just amazing. Love it.
Like, amazing.
It's making me emotional. Yes.
So
yes.
Starting at 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. So this will be on Tuesday, June 30th at 53rd Mount Vernon Avenue, Mount Vernon, New York, 10550.
You'll be giving out food packages to the community.
Yes, definitely.
Yes, definitely. Amazing. Yeah, and her website is wa-moe.org. Everything is going to be on image, on video when we share it back with you. This I've only seen in government projects. I mean, I know that there are churches who usually host things and then persons come there. And because I've worked with the government, I'm the one who does the Ministry of Health communication strategy. So I'm used to these things from projects and UN agencies because I work with them. And I'm not saying churches don't do it. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying I've never seen it. I remember at 16, I was so attached to my church, to the church I was in. It was a Pentecostal church. Yeah. I was a VP of Sunday school. I was very involved in the church because it was my escape. Mm-hmm. And I remember I went homeless. And I remember my father was saying to me, I need to come back up to the hut. And I'm just like, I just couldn't do it, you know? And I remember he went to the pastors, both husband and wife, and he was like, my daughter loves this church. She doesn't want to leave. I'm not quite sure what to do. And I remember the pastor said, we do, because they had this house, you know, the church house. And she said, we do have space. However, it's for the persons who come for convention. And I remember my father asked, what is convention? She said, 2 weeks out of the year, you know, they have this get together where they celebrate their church or whatever. And my father was like, but she's going to live for 12 months. And that's 2 weeks. It's so funny that I now have a foundation, and it was in 2016 or 2015, I think. I was working in the community because we used to bring volunteers here to help with the schools and stuff. And I remember that was where they brought us, to that same building. Wow. And they were asking us to help them restore the house.
Wow.
The same house. It was one of the most profound things I've ever seen. I'm saying all of that to say, when I say I've never seen it, I have the experience to say I've never seen it. So I want to commend it. And it's beautiful. And as a kid who grew up knowing, experiencing hunger more than being filled, I say I have perfected the art of being hungry. I know how to tell you to survive hunger. I have to say that something like this is just absolutely amazing. Why did you think of this, and how what kind of support can people give you? But where did it come from?
Well, this ministry, from the time it started, I've not really done a lot. I've never really had people on the outside helping, because I never really had all that connection. So I've always done a lot of it out of my pocket. So it all connects from, you know, and I had, at one time I had my cousin, my son, so our tithe and offering that we collected, we always put it back out into the community, because it's called an outreach, because we're also out to reach the lost at any cost. God will always provide the finances. And because we never read a lot of churches helping us. Like I said, we were we're in a big ministry, but then even though we weren't a big ministry by size, we did big things.
Yes.
And I remember once, and it was only like three of us at the time, because I had people that left, because I started out with 12, and then everybody left, and I only had three of us, me and my family. And we did some events at the Radisson Hotel. We had a dance, we had prayer breakfasts, different things going on at the Radisson. People wonder how this lady don't have nobody in her ministry but a few people, as she put in all these big events. But you see, when you have the favor of God on your life, that's the key. The favor of God. And when your faith is strong and you ask God to provide, because the Bible says in Philippians 4, verse 19, my God shall supply all our need according to riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So what I would do is I would ask God to send me the finances, and the Lord would open the door for the finances to come forth. So we never really, you know, worked a lot with people, because we realized how some people were. So everything we did, all the community outreach we did, a lot of it just came from my personal pockets. And you know, I've done, even when I had my house, my former house, we in the backyard, I fed the community. The Lord would tell me on Friday, just cook. And I would cook, and because I love to cook, and I was a queen of the barbecue. And man, I would cook every Friday. I just sent out a text, everybody come, just come eat. That's what I kept doing all the time, you know. Mm-hmm. And then when we had our services on the street, I had give out free food. I'm always giving out free food. They're like, why are you always giving out everything for free? God bless me. So the Bible says,
hunger is a terrible thing.
So I follow what the scripture says. I just follow the scriptures. And every time I follow the scriptures, things happen. You know, so even now, I said, Lord, I know this is different time. So how are we going to do this? And then when Sister Del Rose said to me, you know, we could do your ministry Zoom live. I'm like, really? Wow, God, this is something really powerful. But I said, Lord, how are we going to do the outreach? Because I got to make a transition, because, you know, usually my anniversary service be on the street. That's what I do. And I said, how are we going to do this? And the Holy Spirit said to me, just put some packages together, some dry food together, and just set in a date, you know, and just give it. I said, whoa, Lord, thank you. So the Lord just gave me that, you know, community connection, you know, and to bring it all together, because I figured just having a service was not enough. It was incomplete without sharing with the community to know that, you know, Jesus is Lord. So everything we do is to spread the love. We've given out school packages when the children go back to school. You know, I put a lot of that together, you know, and because I'm a former teacher as well. So I've given out a lot of different packages with a lot of love, and I enjoy doing it. I enjoy just giving. That's part of me. I just enjoy. Yeah. I like to see people's lives blessed. I like to see if I can make your day special. Then I've done something. If you can meet one person every day and make their life special, even if you don't have something to give them, but give them a word, give them something encouraging, whatever it is, just whatever little bit of you can do. You ain't got to do a whole lot. Just do a little bit and do it from your heart. And you'd be surprised how the blessings of God come through for you. And, you know, and that's what I did, you know. And
that's true.
You know, so right now I did go out last night and got a whole bunch of stuff together. I had somebody coming out to help me put it together. And I said, you know, I asked people for donations, whether you have it or not, you know, God bless you anyhow, you know. So, you know, I do a lot.
And for those who want to donate, you can go to wamoe.org/donate. And all of that is going to be put up, going to be put up on the video, and it's going to be in the link. So absolutely. I have other things in my mind, but this is also something I want to ask you about. I saw you in a photo with Felicia Rashad. That's the wife on Cosby. Please tell us about that.
Yes.
Please tell us about that.
Oh my God. I tell you, God put you in to season places at different times. I was at a nail salon. You know, women like to get their nails done because I'm like that. Yeah. So I was in Pelham one day and I was sitting in the nail salon. And here comes I'm sitting in the chair and she comes to sit next to me. And I said, don't I know you? I said, you're from Felicia Rashad. She said, yes. And we just started chatting, sitting up in the chair. And I said, can I take a picture with you? And she said, sure. And that's how I got that picture. And it so happened just before the mayor became the mayor, I think it's for that. They have a school, an auditorium at the Nellie Thornton School named after her. And I was able to see her again. And it was such a blessing when I was able to give her a copy of that picture. She was so appreciative of the copy of that picture.
Wow.
So we got the chance to connect. So I had to meet her twice. I'm grateful to God.
That's beautiful. Yeah, that's beautiful. This is my final thing. At the end, as you were speaking before, I asked you that, you were talking about, just how to make people's lives special. I love at the end of your service, you always say, I love you. Not just Jesus loves you, I love you. To me, and I don't know that this is what it means, but being a person, and I want to thank you for what you do on the street. A lot of people may not understand it. When I heard the word outreach in your ministry, that said something to me. Again, I manage a lot of projects. I've worked with human agencies and stuff. That's where you hear outreach. You don't hear it in churches, right? I'm not saying the churches don't do it. I'm saying I've never experienced it, right? So when I heard it in the name of your ministry, outreach ministry, that's a word that's usually used for projects and things like that. So it touched me. And then when every single time you're done, I sit and I wait for it. I love you. So I want to thank you on behalf of every single person here, because I know what hunger is. I know what it feels like. I know what it's like to be homeless. I know what it's like to be completely on your own. I know what it's like to just not know what's going to happen. You don't know where it's going to come from. You don't know what you're going to do. I know that. And so I take it very personal when persons do this, and I say thank you, because it matters to me. And I'm very thankful that you do that. And what is it that so inspires you to, in spite of all you've gone through, because you've gone through quite a bit, And on top of that, you're a Black woman in America. It's a lot happening. How do you cultivate that kind of
mindset,
that kind of habit and mindset, that you're able to say, and you don't just, when it comes to women, I listen. I'm in tune because of my experiences. You don't just say, I love you, and that's it. You really say it. Like, it's really coming from somewhere. Like, you say, I love you. I listen to the energy, everything. I'm like that.
Wow. I didn't realize you knew all that.
I do. I just don't say anything. But how does one get to that place?
Oh, wow. God has unconditional love for his people. And I learned to develop that love over time, because love triumphs in many ways, because the Bible says you have great faith, hope, and charity, but the greatest of these is love. And I wanted to experience God's love in my life. And when I experienced God's love, I wanted to give that to others. And in spite of all the hurt I've been through in my life, I didn't forget all the stuff that I went through, but I learned how to put it to the side and just love people naturally. Love people without any strings attached. Because sometimes, and the funny thing is, sometimes I give things to people and they look at me strange. It's like, why are you doing this? Because nobody have ever done that for them before. So there's some people, it's the first time in their life, the Lord will say, bless that person or do something for that person. They'd be like, they're looking, but why? They never understand, because nobody experienced those type of people really looking out for them and going beyond the norm to really making sure they're okay. Because I asked the Lord to, to lead me and guide me, and people who need support, people need help, Lord, just lead me. Let me show them your love and show how wonderful you are, and do these acts of kindness. And so the love that I share, what I share with the people, comes from deep within, because I am so in love with Jesus. I am extremely, I was saying to God this morning, I said, God, I'm in love with you. Oh my Lord, I don't know what to do with myself. I turn a fool sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes I'd be up in the church and man, I'd be on one dance. I don't care. I just love God so much. I make a fool of myself. Sometimes I fall down in the spirit. I get back up again and keep dancing. I was like, God, you don't want to make a fool of myself for, because you're too good to me. And because of his love for me, and he taught me that love. And because of that, I want to share with so many people, because it's through our experiences that we can, because people like to look at the natural stuff. The Bible says, man, look at the natural stuff, but God look at the heart. Yes. You know, and people, when you could show that and people could feel the love and feel the energy, that's powerful. Know that you have empowered somebody's mind for today. And, you know, when they walk away from you, they feel special. And that's what it's all about. I'm thankful that it comes natural for me now, in spite of everything, you know, because we gotta, and the Lord used our testimonies to help us make us strong.
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you, Stephen. If you have no other questions, we'll close. Do you have a question?
I did have one question.
Go ahead.
So, Dr. Faye, what is the one thing that always keeps you grounded?
I can't, what you said?
What is the one thing that always keeps you grounded?
The one thing that keeps me grounded is my prayer time. My time with God. That's what keeps me grounded. Wow. When I have that one-on-one with him, that's what keeps me to be able to function throughout the day. If I don't have that conversation with God in the morning, my day don't go so well. Just like when I give an example, when I was teaching in the school system, I always get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to say my prayer and to read my word before I go out the door. And then sometimes I get so, maybe once in a while, I get to a point when I'm rushed, I'm hurrying, and I didn't always get that time to pray. And I tell you, and I try to do it in the car, but it's never the same. You know, and I find when I spend that time with him, my day goes so smooth. So even if any kind of crazy things want to happen, I know how to deal with it. I know how to process it. I don't get upset. I'm calm. I have parents come around me getting irate. I'm as calm as ever because I had that time with God early in the morning. And I try to encourage people. I mean, people do things at nighttime, but I think that early morning communication is powerful because it helps you keep your mind together. It keeps your thoughts and your actions. And you also got to think twice. You know, sometimes you want to do something, say, what would Jesus do? Or Lord, I'm in a dilemma right now. What is it you desire me to do? So I have that connection with him. And when you have the connection with God, oh my Lord, things open up for you. Doors open up for you. I mean, I can't stop smiling when I think about God. I can't stop smiling because he's good. And spreading the love, oh my God, everything comes so natural.
It does.
You know, but it's because of my consistent worship and because, like I said, my prayer time, my special time with him, that keeps me grounded and keeps me from falling out at the seams, you know. You know, because sometimes when I still get around my family, I'm going to tell you the truth, I still feel a little weird, you know, because I know what I experienced with them, you know what I mean? Right. And even though I am this person I am now, you know, it's all because of God, you know, for me to be kind and reaching out to them and stuff like that. It's only because of God, because had not been for God on my side, I'm telling you. I don't know where I would be. So I just want to share this with all those who are listening. Know God for yourself and not just know about him. Because I grew up knowing about God, but know him for yourself in the fullness of his power and his anointing. Because let me tell you something. God has so much great things in store for you. And all you got to do is open up your heart and say, Jesus, come into my heart. cleanse me, make me clean. And he will teach you. Because I tell you, being a child of God, it takes a process. It's like when a baby's is growing from stages to stages. That's how it is with the Lord. But you can't rush it. You got to take your time and don't try to be like everybody else. Just try to be you. And the Lord, ask the Lord to make you the special you that he designed you to be, because each of us are born with a plan and a purpose, and we have destiny to fulfill, and we can only fulfill it and be successful knowing Jesus Christ as Lord. God bless you.
Thank you so much. You are a powerful woman. Your words are so empowering, so powerful. And I feel honored just to have met you and for having you here. Thank you so much for coming on our show. I just want to say thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're doing in the community. I thank you for the persons who will be blessed by it. And I know that it's going to make a difference in their lives. I just want to, from my very bottom of my heart, thank you for all you do. Thank you. Yes. I value it. Thank you, Stephen. Yeah.
And thank Stephen, you, again, Raquel, for giving me this opportunity.
You're
thank
so welcome.
You, Stephen, for joining in. Yes. I appreciate this so much. I'm like, oh my goodness. Yes.
Thank you.
I'm
too.
On cloud 59 right now.
Awesome. Wonderful. Because my only desire is to empower.
God bless you.
Yes.
Okay.
God bless you too. Stephen, you too. Would you like to say anything before we go?
Enjoy the rest of your day and do not be anybody but you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. I'm so appreciative of it. I'm so grateful for your ministry. And I just want you to have a fantastic day. Thank you.
You too. And I love you, and Jesus loves you too.
I love you too.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. That's right. Thank you, Stephen.
Yes. All right, Stephen. It's great meeting you.
Great meeting you as well.
Okay.
Own your truth.
And what do you mean by that?
Harmonizing your thoughts, feelings, and actions.
I like that. So your greatest power is in your discovery and understanding of self.
That's right.
Finding Happy Podcast will help you understand how your thoughts affect your life.
Thoughts become feelings, and our feelings create a halo around us. Finding Happy Podcast will help you cultivate favorable outcomes and avoid harboring negative energies.
Wow, I like that. Thoughts become feelings. Which then become habits that we practice. Finding Happy Podcast will help or give the listener an insight into how what they do is a reflection of their subconscious minds. And it will help you understand how to program your mind to attract what you want consciously.
You deserve to thrive in this life. Find your happy.
Finding Happy Podcast.